Readers Entertainment Radio, where variety is the spice of life.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Readers Entertainment Radio. I'm your host, Lisa Watson. I hope everybody's week has gone well so far. We in North Carolina are expecting some pretty bad weather for the next day or so, with the Hurricane Arthur in the vicinity. But I'm hoping that it'll clear up at least in time for the weekend and to have a little fun and sun this weekend. But anyway, our guest today writes about strong women that aren't afraid to kick butt and take names. She's also a nonconformist that follows her heart in life and in the character she creates. An author of paranormal and fantasy, Shauna Romke writes for young, new, and regular adults alike. U.S. born and raised, Shauna now makes her home on the ocean in Nova Scotia, Canada, which I'm sure makes for a beautiful setting to write in, except probably for the next couple of days, because I think Shauna's getting some bad weather too, but she has garnered tons of five-star reviews praising her for successfully navigating three very challenging topics, death, religion, and teenagers. Welcome, Shauna, and thank you for being here.
Thanks, Lisa, for having me.
Now, before we begin discussing your latest series, Speak of the Devil, I'd like to give our listeners a chance to know a little bit more about the woman behind the novel. So can you start with a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Well, like you said, I live in Nova Scotia, and a hurricane is on its way. It's supposed to hit Saturday, where I'm to be attending an outdoor wedding at the exact time that the eye of the hurricane passes over us. So that should be very...
Wow.
I don't know. That should give me some material for another book, I guess.
Absolutely.
Totally. So I grew up in Missouri, actually, but I didn't realize you were in North Carolina. I lived in North Carolina for a few months, too, in Cary, North Carolina. So
I've been in Cary, and I've actually been in the Midwest. I lived in Aurora, Illinois for 7 years.
Oh, okay.
So there you go. A little flip-flop going on.
Yeah, and I have family from South Carolina and lived in Missouri, went to school in Kansas, which wasn't exactly the popular thing to do because they're the school rivals, and, you know, and now I'm in Canada, and, you know, anyway, so that's about it. I have dogs, I have kids, they're all high maintenance, and I do volunteer work for animal rescues, and I write and I teach at the college. I teach marketing and communication, so that's pretty much it in a nutshell.
Right, and you're like, spare time, what is that?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, I'm off for the summer, and it's like, whew, I always do this every summer. Oh, I'm off. I'm going to sit by the ocean. I'm going to write books, and
right.
I'm going to have nothing to do, and I don't have to pack lunches for the kids for school. It's fine. I have all the time. Well, now it's like, they're here. I have to make them lunch every day.
Right, because I keep getting, what's for lunch? Well, gee, I don't know what's for lunch for years, but.
Yes. What's for lunch is a training session on how to make your own lunch and do it yourself the rest of the summer. So I always think it's going to have a lot of free time, and it's, you know, then I remember at the end of the summer, I'm like, oh, I can't wait till they go back to school so I can write, but then I'm working,
mm-hmm.
and it's, you know, yeah, free time is a mess, I think.
Now, before we go too far, I want our listeners to know that the live chat session is open, and you're welcome to comment or ask questions about the show. If you'd like to call in, you can do so at area code 646-200-4071 or toll-free at 877-497-5906. And now I think I need to point out that that is the U.S. only for the toll-free number. So,
yeah.
We'll either be talking really fast or hopefully the international call is not too bad. So after, of course, the live show, we post the podcast and blog to readersentertainment.com. And I know many of our listeners would like to check out Shauna's website during the show. You can find that at www.shaunaromke, that's S-H-A-W-N-A, romkey.com. So, Shauna, let's jump right in and talk about your book, The Devil Made Me Do It, Book 2 in the Speak of the Devil series. It's on sale now, and I'm sure readers couldn't be happier. Would you give us a sneak peek into this intriguing story?
I will try. It just released Tuesday, so it's hot off the presses, waiting for me to come buy it and finance my long-distance phone call. No,
right. Please, everybody, go buy a copy so yes. we can help out Shauna with this international long-distance phone call for half an hour. So go, yeah. Amazon.com.
So it's book two in the series, so and I plan for it to be a trilogy. So this,
oh, wow.
to me, it was kind of like the middle, you know, the middle. This is where things happen and kind of get messy, and it's The Empire Strikes Back. So my tagline is The Demon Strike Back. So the first first book is like the origin story where Yishu finds out, oh, hey, angels are real, and oh, hey, demons are attacking. And this book, you know, they kind of get the upper hand at the, you know, not the I never know how much to say about the books.
I know, you're like, I don't want to spoil it, people, but.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure not everyone has read the first book, but, you know, it ends okay. It ends like, I wasn't sure if it was going to be a series. I hoped that my publisher would pick it up and do all of it, but I kind of had it be, you know, have an ending just in case they didn't.
Right.
So the first one's kind of wraps up, but then it restarts again in this book, and the demons get the upper hand, and the main character, Lily, actually gets taken to hell.
Not in a handbasket.
Not in a handbasket. It ain't pretty, that's for sure. So that was really fun to write, that whole thing, and she meets some very interesting characters when she's in hell, so... It was fun.
Now, Lily is a high school student, and not only is she having to deal with your normal teenage angst, she also has to navigate her way through young love, a horrible tragedy, the loss of her friends, and then otherworldly issues like of apocalyptic proportion. So how does she keep it all together?
Well, she really doesn't, and the first book is very, you know, it starts off very emotional, and there's loss, and there is sorrow, and there is grieving, and I've had people who've read the book who've lost people they care about talk to me about how they've never really had it, you know, expressed that way, and they could totally identify, and then some of the things she thinks about, her friends are dead, and she's thinking about, like, them decomposing in the coffin, and she can't get these thoughts out of her head. It's a very dark place to go, and they said, I totally did that. I hated that I did that, but how does your mind not go those places? So people who've lost someone have said they can identify with that. There's a lot of grief at the beginning, but she's a very... You know, she's not a strong, you know, I talked about Xena and Buffy, you mentioned that I'm a fan, and she's not a kick butt in that sense, where she's, you know, punch you and fight and kickbox and all that, but she's like, pulls herself up and is like, okay, I have to figure out what's going on in my life, I have to figure out what happened to my friends, and she gets very focused. She's a very curious character, and she's very strategic, so she's brave in a sense that she's curious, and she'll let that take her to places that might be a little risk. So she's a risk taker, and she's very strategic in what's the plan. Here's the question that I want to have solved, and how do I go find that? And so she kind of starts focusing in that direction. It's not a whole, you know, 230 pages of mourning. It's, you know, it starts off that way, and then now what? So now what can I do about it?
Now, can you tell us a little bit about Speak to the Devil, the series as a whole, and what's in store for readers from one book to the next?
Okay. So the first book, Speak of the Devil, is, like I said, the origin story, and we meet the incident happens with her. She meets these friends at high school that turn out to be angels and or demons, and finds out why they're there, and kind of gets a taste of what the mythos of the angels are.
Right.
And in the second book, like I said, it takes it beyond that, where the demons get the upper hand and she's taken. She finds out she has these special abilities that can help the angels. And the big problem, and speak of the devil, is that God has gone silent, and that's mm-hmm. causing the angels to fall. Some angels fall when they lose their faith. So there is actually, you know, I talk about religion in the book and spirituality in relationship to angels and demons, because I couldn't think mm-hmm. of writing a book about angels and not mentioning God. And some people have really liked that. Some people have been very turned off by it, but it's respectful of religion. And mm-hmm. I actually lucked out and had the fantasy author Terry Brooks. I was asked to be a guest author at a sci-fi comic convention that he was also asked to be at. And so we chatted, and I gave him my book, and he read it, and he sent me this page of thoughts and ideas and feedback on it, and I've used that as in the front of The Devil Made Me Do It in the inside. And he thought it was really cool that I used, you know, actually talked about religion in a speculative fiction, you know, genre fiction type book. He says people rarely do that, and it's a very brave choice. So that was awesome to have.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
you're like, see?
Yeah, but you know, it's just I didn't think about this is how it's going to happen. It's just kind of how, when I wrote it, that's what came out. So
right.
I'm glad he liked that. But it's not preachy, and it's not you need to do this and you need mm-hmm. to believe that. It's just about what these characters believe and what they think and what's happening with them. So
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If it's not your thing, you don't have to feel like it's being jammed down your throat. And if it is your thing, great. So there you go. But the last book, I have to figure out where God has been all this time. And, no, I have that figured out. I do know what's going to happen. And when I have a writer's group that we do brainstorming sessions.
Right.
And we were in the middle of this brain, because I said, you know, this was like a year and a half ago. I go, so how am I going to end this? God's gone. Who can kidnap God? You know, what? Some thug
right.
down the street's not going to have God in the back alley.
Who's got
right?
God's where back?
Yeah, and I don't want to disrespect, you know, people who believe in God that, you know, make them think that just anybody could take him. So I figured it out. I'm not going to tell you because it's not even written
okay.
yet, but I know how it's going to end.
That's
but
book
at
three,
the
everybody.
Moment, yeah, but at the moment I realized going on and how it was going to end, I got goosebumps, and I have goosebumps
were
right
you
now
like,
thinking about
yes.
it. So. Yes. Awesome. Yes, so I'm goosebumpy now. So I think it's going to be a really good way to wrap up the series. But then at the end, you know, if you bookend a series, you know, the very first chapter, the very first book, Lily dies. But she comes back. So to mm-hmm. bookend that, it's like, so I have some thoughts on how that's going to end, but I haven't totally, I'm not married to them.
Right.
So who knows? We don't know. I don't know what's going to happen yet in that respect. So we'll see.
Now, for anybody just tuning in, we are speaking with best-selling author Shauna Romke, who is a fantasy and paranormal author. She writes young adult, new adult, and regular adult fiction, and we're discussing her latest novel, The Devil Made Me Do It, which is book two in the Speak to the Devil series. Now, I know you're a self-proclaimed geek and you're a lover of Xena, Warrior Princess, and, of course, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which completely rocks all day long. But what initially drew you to the fantasy and paranormal genres, and what intrigued you about the whole fallen angels, demons, and to revisit the timeless balance of good and evil? Was that something you just felt like, I have to do this?
Well, I think I've always, you know, so I've taught for over 20 years, and mm-hmm. I've taught everything from literature and, like, I'm doing marketing communications now, but in the lit classes, I always like, you know, my students always thought it was weird because I always liked the dark stuff. I liked Edgar Allan Poe, and I liked
mm-hmm.
the Robert Browning when he's talking about, you know, my last duchess and killing my last duchess and Porphyria's lover when he strangles her with her hair. And, you know, mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, that's what I would want to read. And that's what I would try to get them all jazzed about. You know, it's not just, oh, we're going to go out and farm wheat or something. It was like, let's get some really cool stuff. And, you know, in all my, when I went to school to teach English and literature, it was like everything boils down to love and death. So sex mm-hmm. and violence was just heightened versions of love and death.
Right.
So I knew I was always going to have love and death in my books. Mm-hmm. And I think those are the two things that are universal. Everyone experiences love in some way. It may not be with another person. It may be with a dog, or I mean, not like weird, but like you love your dog, or you love cats, or you love, you know, pizza, or you, everyone has love. Everyone has experienced that emotion, hopefully with other people, but not necessarily. And unfortunately, everyone experiences death.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think that those are two very identifiable subjects to write about in one form or another. So the paranormal, the book actually, Speak of the Devil, the first one, actually is based on something that happened to me in high school. Is I had three friends, and I went to a very small school. There were like 30 people per grade level, and three of my friends died in a car accident. And that's something that obviously affected me greatly at the time, and it is something that has pretty much haunted me ever since. And that's been 30 years ago.
Right.
And so in writing Speak of the Devil, and it starts out with this car accident, when that happens in real life,
revisiting that for you.
Yeah, and when it happens in real life, that's it. That's the end. They don't come back from the dead. You don't ever see them again. You don't have, you know, it's just it, and deal with it. But with the paranormal, they can come back from the dead. You can have mm-hmm. scenes where you're talking with them and you're dealing with them. You can have it explained. Like, the big question is why? Why did this happen? And you can answer that. And I felt like that's what I was able to do in some form for myself, is answer that question and make it at least, you know, give some possibilities of things we don't know and we're not sure about, and maybe this is what happened, so that it, you know, sucks a little bit less, I guess.
Right. Now, tell us about your other main character, Lee's love interest, Luke. What is he like, and when is there an actual spark that between, you know, that tends to fly between the two of them? When does that first kick off?
Well, it's love at first sight for Lily and Luke. They bond instantly. They don't know it at the time. And she doesn't know what he is at the time, but, yeah, he's, I think this is a line from the book, actually. He's all kinds of awesome. He's, you know, he's hot, and he's handsome, and he's protective, and you find out later that he's, like, the lead of this group of angels, so he's almost like this military guardian, you know, leader, and, but because of the silence of God, he's also falling. So it's the tagline of the book is when falling in love and falling from grace collide, because she's falling into depression because of what happened to her friends, and he's possibly falling because of this distance, of this absence to mm-hmm. from the divine. And, you know, doubt starts coming in. And so it's like they need each other to sort of catch each other. What happens when you're both falling and that sort of thing. So he needs her, but he also has to help her as well. And they end up helping each other. And I'm, because of the kick-ass women thing, I don't want to have this main character who needs to be saved all the time. So she's
right.
also helping to save him.
Gotcha. Now, Shauna, you're on Pinterest, and I got to tell our listeners out there, you got some really great eclectic boards out there. I went seriously shopping on those boards. And aside from that, the ones that you have tied into your books, one of my favorites, I will let the listeners know, is the Wicked Stepmother series board. If you haven't been there, go check it out. I'm loving the glass slippers. They are awesome, as well as the different pictures and different versions of wicked stepmothers and what they should look like and how they should dress and, you know, all sorts of stuff. Now, is this board, the Wicked Stepmothers board, is that going to be a focus for some novels in the future, or is it just an area that, you know, sparked your interest?
It's a series that I have started that I've kind of run, I don't know, it's kind of sputtered out because I couldn't figure out what genre it was, because it's the Wicked Stepmother story. I'm a stepmother, so my oldest, who's 16, I'm his stepmother, so I know that that's a very challenging job to have, and I don't really see that reflected, like, in TV and literature, really. I mean, there was the Julia Roberts stepmom movie, and there was a stepmom on, what was it, Desperate Housewives for, like, 5 minutes, that was dealt with, and I thought, oh, this would be interesting. So it's from the stepmother's perspective, where they're really not a bad person. They're just doing their job. So in the, you told me I can't tell you the tagline of the first Wicked Stepmother story. If the shoe fits, Cinderella. But it's if Cinderella, I can tell you part of it, is just sort of a lying drunken, and so the stepmother had to do something. And it's really, that's another one based on my life, because the first time I ever got drunk, I was 16 years old, and I'd broken up with my boyfriend, and I got in the parents' liquor cabinet, my dad, my stepmother's liquor cabinet,
and
I didn't know how to drink. So I just had Jack Daniel's whiskey straight up in a glass. I didn't know you're supposed to do shots or mix it with anything.
Oh.
So I had a glass, half a glass, of straight Jack Daniel's whiskey.
Do you remember anything after that?
I remember waking up with a mess all over my room, and my dad was out of town, and my stepmother came in, and you could tell she was just furious, and she had a right to be. And she was she took me in to rent a carpet steam cleaner and had me steam clean all the carpets in the entire house, and said once I clean up my mess, she would not tell my father, but I had to steam clean the entire house. So I did, and I deserved it. And that's sort of what the Cinderella, if the shoe fits, story is. She wasn't just always making her do chores. She was, you know, trying to make her responsible, and, you know, so that's what happened. But I didn't know what genre it was, because there were, like, no men in the story. It was the mom, the birth mom, the Cinderella, the stepsisters. They were going to go to the ball and meet the prince, but it was all these, I thought, is this women's fiction, or is it humor, or is it, I wasn't really sure what to do with it, so it's on the back burner, but I do keep pinning things because I would like to revisit that and see what happens. But I'm just kind of stuck right now with where to go with it.
Gotcha. Now, there's one thing I always ask most of my guests, because it's never the same answer twice, which I find very intriguing. So the question is, what's the one thing you cannot do without while you're writing?
I don't drink coffee, so it's not that. I don't drink wine while I'm writing anyway. I don't know. I would say when I first started writing, I had this huge list of everything I needed. I had to be in this chair, and I had to, you know, face north by northwest, and I needed to have complete and utter silence and no one within a 5-mile radius, and, you know, all these things, and no music, and now I think those were just excuses for me not to write. So I've learned to let go of all that, so that I can now go, like some people go to coffee shops and they, you know, type on their laptops, and I can do that. And I go to writer's retreats with my RWA chapter here in Nova Scotia, and write with people sitting all around me, kind of chit-chatting in the background. So now I can just sort of, I've trained myself that those were just excuses to, you know, another reason not to do it. And now I can kind of just write anywhere. I mean, I can't have people talking to me and interrupting me, but I've kind of let that go. So I don't think I have to have, you know, I can't do without anything. As long as I have my laptop, I typically write in bed in the morning as soon as everybody leaves because it's comfortable.
Right.
I don't have to go anywhere. My laptop's there. I just get up and I do it so it's first thing and I don't have to feel guilty all day that I haven't written yet. So I guess that's it.
I can't believe we got down to the wire and it's like 5 minutes to go. So I want to squeeze a couple things in because I want to make sure that you let people know where they can interact with you online. So can you give our listeners info on where to find you online?
Okay. Well, I do have Pinterest. Pretty much if you search Shauna Romke, Shauna with a W, I'm a W, not a U, one of those Shaunas. you can find, I think it's Shauna RP on Pinterest. It's S Romke on Twitter. I'm big on Facebook. I like Facebook a little bit more. I feel like you can type more on that than Twitter.
Right.
Twitter,
not 140 characters.
Yeah. Twitter, I just kind of do promo mainly. But I like I have a fan page on Facebook, and my blog is a part of just my ShaunaRomke.com. There's one of the tabs there is the blog. And I, you know, have other authors on and chat about their new books and, you know, different things. If I go to a conference, like I had a big RT write-up. I went to the Kansas City conference because that's where I'm from 2 years ago a year ago. Yeah, that was really fun. And if I do that sci-fi, that HowlCon, which is the sci-fi comic thing they do here in Halifax, which is a lot of fun. I post, you know, about Terry Brooks and all the other authors and actors that I met. I'm a total nerd, so that's fun. So mainly that, and Darkly Delicious YA is
I was going to ask
website.
You about that, so I'm glad you're mentioning it, because I'm like, ooh, I like that name.
Yeah, that's a group of YA authors who we got together, and Dark YA, it's not necessarily paranormal, it just has to be dark and yummy. So we got together, and it's like a group blog. And we do contests and giveaways, and we take turns posting. So I'll end up posting there about once a month, and the others will post. There's 21 or so of us there and talk about what we're doing. And we bring in, like, my next post, I'm interviewing an editor from Entangled Publishing to talk about that. So we talk about writing and craft and that sort of thing. And with my RWA chapter in Nova Scotia, it's called RWAC, it's RWAC. We have a group blog like that as well where we all post once a month, and we have a Facebook page for that. And so all sorts of – I think it's important to have a group of other authors to help because the writing is solitary, but you need people to, you know, beta read and critique and help you figure out where to submit. And when you have writer's block and you don't know what your story is, brainstorming session, my RWAC group, we do that. That's awesome. And it's a lot of fun. And it helps to have other people help you promote and get the word out about your book. So,
yeah, absolutely. That is definitely critical. And I definitely recommend that. So for people just coming in, or if you want to know again, you can find Shauna Romke online on Amazon.com. Her latest novel, The Devil Made Me Do It, is book 2 in the Speak of the Devil series. So definitely go check it out. You can read excerpts from the show, from the book, and you can learn a little bit more about her first book in the series, Speak of the Devil and Luke, and how Lily and Luke got started and everything else. So definitely check her out. And I'd like to thank our listeners for joining here at Readers Entertainment this evening. And don't forget, you can find us at readersentertainment.com. You can stop by. You can leave a comment about tonight's show. There will also be a recap blog there. And if you missed the podcast, no problem. You can click on the book cover image, and it will take you to our show tonight. And Shauna, I wanted to thank you so much for joining us tonight, especially internationally, long distance. It has been such
a
pleasure having you, and I really appreciate you being a good trooper about the 800 number. Not working in Canada. Thank you.
Well, thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun to talk to you and meet you, and I hope to see you again or talk to you again soon.
Thank you. And don't forget, listeners, check Shauna out at www.shaunaromke.com. That is Shauna with a W and not a U, because that's just how Shauna rolls. Thank you so much, Shauna, and hopefully we'll talk soon.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.